Hi, and welcome to the WebSphere Technical Podcast Series on DeveloperWorks. This is the eighth and last in our series of podcasts on WebSphere technologies and services-oriented architecture, where we interview IBM technical experts and discuss important software development issues. I'm Patrick Flanders. I'm an editor with IBM DeveloperWorks and your host for this series. In this installment, we'll talk about the management side of SOA. Once you've deployed your SOA environment, you and your team have to actively manage it as a core business asset. This allows you to monitor its performance, determine if it is actually doing what it is supposed to be doing, and then make adjustments and additions from there to improve it iteratively. Joining me to help us understand the challenges of SOA management and the strategies and techniques that you can use to meet those challenges is Phil Fritz. Phil is a senior product manager for SOA and web services management with IBM Tivoli. He has been in web services solutions for the past 2 years, and previously he was doing product management in the security area. Phil, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for your time.
Can you tell our listeners about the significance of the manage phase of SOA development and maybe describe to us the pain points brought on by SOA that require management, as well as the main challenges in managing the SOA?
Well, sure. And I tend to take a look at pain points and management challenges as really opportunities for us. SOA provides, or the SOA approach provides, a tremendous amount of flexibility in terms of how we look at our IT infrastructure. And it also takes a look at our IT infrastructure, not in terms of a new element, but how do we leverage our current assets. And so within that framework, part of what SOA management as a subject area is about is really about looking at not just the services elements that we're introducing into our IT environments, but looking at the IT environment holistically from a service point of view. Anytime we introduce new flexibility into an environment, it does provide some unique management challenges. In this case, we're doing a couple of things. We're both introducing the notion that our IT environment needs to be examined from a service capability point of view. And we're also introducing new resources, in this case, web services technologies. So what we attempt to do in the management area is, again, a couple of things. Treat services as manageable resources. So from the technology sphere, what we try and do is extend our monitoring and management technologies to be able to identify and recognize services as managed resources within the environment. This means associating status and performance characteristics, as well as associating service level agreements and service level objectives with them. It also can be treated as a manageable resource in the sense that it can be deployed and configured, monitored and managed, secured, versioned, so on and so forth. The second piece of what we do is bring this together as part of a holistic set of capabilities, so that when we introduce new elements into the environment, we're doing so by leveraging the assets we already have. So in this case, it's the ability to extend monitoring infrastructures and management infrastructures so that they can incorporate these new capabilities and new functions without having to necessarily incorporate or dictate a new set of infrastructure to do that management.
So we've talked about some of the activities that the team has to do. Let's take a higher level approach, maybe talk about what needs to be done at that level to ensure effective monitoring and management of the SOA environment.
So the reality is that when we take a higher level view, we need to look at what are the business processes that need to be monitored and what kind of metrics do we need to associate with those. And then we also need to break down the IT operation space into distinct areas that help us solve the various different levels of abstraction that SOA brings to the table. So that means being able to manage your services layer, the services relationships, being able to manage the underlying infrastructure that supports those services, being able to manage the transactions that bind the business process to the web service, to the underlying resources, and then finally being able to secure and manage compliance with corporate security policies across the different layers. So by taking a layered view of the infrastructure, it helps us to break down the different components and elements that need to be instrumented, as well as being able to present information to the right sets of folks in the organization. a business analyst is going to be mostly curious about the execution of a business process, whereas a J2EE or some application support engineer is going to be interested in information about components and transactions.
Let's take a look at one or two of these at a time, starting with managing the business process. What kinds of measures do you put in place here, and how can you effectively manage in an effort to ensure that the business processes are optimized?
Right. So when we take a look at business processes, we really have to look at the business side of the equation here. In many cases, both business and IT processes are about human interaction. And so what's the value at this level? Well, what's the value at this level is to understand how that business process is executing and what financial metrics or what key performance indicators we want to be able to track. So if we have, for example, a process that is about examining a claims management or claims processing within an insurance industry, for example, we want to understand both how that process is executed on the automated portion of it, and then also how that process is executing based on the human interaction portion of it. So if people need to approve certain process steps where there's human approval or there's human verification of that, we need to monitor and manage that at that level. That means looking at how the process is being executed within the environment, being able to associate key performance indicators. In certain cases, these are financial instruments, you know, how much time it takes, that's associated with a financial metric, as well as associated with some kind of business impact if that service or that process isn't being executed in a timely fashion.
What about managing the service layer and the service relationships? And so what's at stake here, and what does the team need to be prepared to do?
Well, this is the key part of SOA in the sense that services perform that missing link between what we used to have in the business process and what we had in the underlying IT infrastructure. Services are important because this new abstraction layer actually encapsulates, if you've done correctly, enough context about the business process as well as enough context about the underlying IT infrastructure that by looking at the services layer, key impact can be done both at the business process level and key understanding of the underlying infrastructure can be done at the IT level. So it's really about understanding the relationships those services have to the business processes that they support as well as to the dependencies they carry on the underlying IT infrastructure. And looking at this service relationship view gives us what we have been striving for in the industry for a long time is enough of a context that allows us to make that bridge seamlessly across the layers. We've always been promising sort of an IT or business-driven view of IT, and services are the technology, and managing services is the approach that we make that truly practical and effective today. One more point about the services layer is that we also introduce the notion of real-time controls at this layer because services, for the first time, offer a programming model that not only describes what they do, but describes their characteristics. Managing services is much more along the lines of managing those service characteristics, like performance, quality of service, availability, and security. Because these elements are explicitly defined as part of the programming model, we have the opportunity for a much greater level of control during runtime, during our deployment. So what's the benefit here? The benefit here is that we can change the behavior of our applications without having to recode or redeploy them. This is the true promise of being able to do end-to-end SOA management because now we have the capability of being proactive instead of reactive to what we tend to monitor and how we execute our operations after that.
Now, let's take a look at transaction performance. So with transaction performance, what kinds of metrics and goals should the team be looking at? And how can they most effectively manage to those goals?
So in transaction performance, the key metrics are always performance and availability. Let me make an analogy here. Once we've decided to expose services using an abstraction layer such as web services technology, we still need to manage underlying performance and availability. And this takes the form of many different transaction types that aren't yet quite in the web services space. These are technologies such as RMI over IIOP, JCA, MQ. These are all the key technologies we use today to support a service-oriented architecture, and these aren't going away anytime soon. These need still to be monitored. And at this lower level, it's much more important to pick out the performance and availability. So what I need to understand at this lower level is how's my end-to-end transaction flowing through the web services layer, through the different middleware, and into legacy systems such as mainframe systems. At this lower level, it is the only practical method for instrumentation is something we called ARM, or Application Response Measurement. This is a standard that's been accepted by the Open Group, and the technologies here are able to leverage the native instrumentation in each of the platforms to be able to collect this valuable availability and performance information that has to be delivered with a low profile, with a low overhead, so it doesn't impact the performance of the actual transactions. Let me just reiterate, for every web service or service we put out there, there could be 10, 100, or even 1,000 transactions that flow through that web service. So the goal of monitoring for transaction performance or response time tracking is to identify performance bottlenecks in the IT infrastructure and quickly pinpoint where the offending components are, so then we can take a deeper dive into the infrastructure and perform true root cause analysis of that element in the infrastructure that's issuing the error.
Now let's take a look at the supporting middleware. So I imagine there's a performance aspect to this, and if that's true, what are the proven techniques that can be used for middleware management?
Middleware management is where we have traditional systems management. In traditional systems management, we tend to look at the resources on a per-resource basis. So this is what we've been doing for a long time now, is being able to manage Windows boxes and Unix boxes and Linux boxes, as well as MQ and application servers. This is at where the core systems management value proposition is at, is looking at our resources. This is an essential element of doing SOA management, because at the end of the day, there is a bad disk drive, or we've got CPU utilization that's over parameters, or network bandwidth. And this is where the true nature of IT problems help impact errors or availability or any other service level agreement up at the services layer. This is where the rubber meets the road, in the sense that once we've identified a piece of the infrastructure that is failing, we need deep dive instrumentation into that resource. So we need to be able to understand an application server, understand thread contention, understand memory leaks, understand bad hardware failures, so that we can provide the root cause of the error in the first place. So it's not enough just to understand, well, here's where the problem is from a performance point of view, or here's where my business process is failing. I need to also be able to extract the fact that, hey, I've got a bad disk drive here. I need to do something about it. This provides that linkage to our traditional systems management and is able to provide the metrics necessary to recover from that error or to recover from that fault and bring the system back up online faster and more efficiently.
Now, I understand that security is a big issue of concern for many of our customers when they deploy an SOA. So can you tell me, in particular, how do I manage security and how do I manage identities in this environment?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that question. And in fact, this question is probably best answered through another more detailed in-depth session on security and identity management. But to provide a brief overview, you're absolutely right. Once we talk about introducing flexibility and adding new elements into our organization, this could be new business partners, supply chain partners, so on and so forth, the issue of security is of top mind with customers. And it boils down to this. There are many platforms, both application platforms as well as particular appliances such as XML gateways, that provide the ability to enforce security. And what's really needed is not just the security features within the platform, which are important, but more importantly, I have to be able to manage the security policies or the security configurations across all of those different platforms so that I deliver a level of assurance and a level of compliance to the business that says, yes, not only am I applying security across my end-to-end SOA, but I'm also doing it in a consistent fashion, and I can report on that. And that's really what's known as web services security management, the ability to make sure that as we apply security policies within our different runtime environments or our different deployments, that that security policy is applied in a consistent fashion. And I can report the fact that that security policy has been applied in a consistent fashion. The second problem, or second order of problem, is once I've got everything secured and it's secured in a consistent fashion, I still have the issue of different identities that get used. So my authorized users are now no longer just folks that are authorized within my own environment, but I have to take into account, again, those same business partners or the supply chain or even other organizations that want access to my SOA resources. And the answer here isn't to make everyone comply to one security standard or one identity credential. again, the vision of SOA is to be able to reuse our assets, to not have to rewrite, but to extend and enhance what we currently have. And so this is where we talk about federated identity management. This is a capability that allows each of our organizations to keep our own identity credentials, but yet federate them in a way so that if Walmart wants to do business with Gillette, that we don't force Walmart and Gillette to both use the same credential. We provide a federation service that brokers between the two credentials so that the appropriate access is done and the appropriate level of security is applied. But at the same time, we lower administrative expenses of having to manage different credentials, as well as we provide the ability to give a faster time to value by brokering our existing identity credentials. So this is, in a nutshell, the two areas of web services security management and federated identity management that need to be dealt with. Again, I would refer you to more sessions on this subject area as they can deal with this in a more detailed and fundamental fashion.
Now, we're getting close to the end here, Phil. So would you be able to briefly tell us about the IBM software products that our audience can use for SOA management?
I'll be glad to. And I'll start back again in terms of the format we had for earlier in our conversation. So at the business process level, we have our WebSphere for Business Integration Monitor product. And this is a product that actually does that, captures those key performance indicators, and is able to measure the status of a business process and generate data about that business process. And it can be modified to include financial metrics, key process metrics that tells the people that are interested in the execution of the process, how that process is being executed, and what kind of return on investment in the process we're making, and identify, you know, if there's any impact to the process, what's that impact in terms of the key performance indicators. Down at the services layer, we've got, again, a new product here that we're calling IBM Tivoli Composite Application Manager for SOA. And this is a product that monitors and provides some level of control through filtering web services relationships and web services transactions. And it provides them, in part, as a holistic offering from our Tivoli portfolio. What I mean by that is that all of the Tivoli monitoring products use the same infrastructure, so I can see my web services data side by side with my data for MQ, for example, or my data for WebSphere, for example, and it allows me to associate web services errors with errors in the infrastructure. Moving down a layer, we talk about managing transactions, and there again we have another product in the same family, IT Composite Application Manager for response time tracking. And this is a product that is able to take the web services transaction, decompose it down to its elements, EJBs, Java Connector architecture calls, RMI over IOP, SQL into DB2 or KIX or IMS transactions. And this is a tool you'd want to decompose that web services call into the many transactions that comprise it and help isolate performance bottlenecks within the infrastructure. In other words, highlight the offending component that is causing the performance or availability error. And then under that, we have, again, the third product in our IT CAM portfolio is called IBM Tivoli Composite Application Manager for WebSphere. And this is a product that does the deep dive instrumentation of the WebSphere platform. So things like memory errors, memory leaks, memory errors, thread contention, those deep dive issues that affect the performance or availability of WebSphere is that tool that we provide for the resource-based monitoring. That allows us to do root cause analysis of the actual error. And then finally, on the security front, we have our Tivoli Federated Identity Manager product. As I described earlier, provides that federation capability of being able to translate between different security credentials. And again, this is a product that's based off of our common Tivoli infrastructure for security that Tivoli Access Manager provides. So not only can we do security policy enforcement and across a different set of endpoints, such as XML gateways, as well as application servers, and provide that underlying security and the security management, but we also provide the top-level management of identities within this federated environment.
When it comes to managing SOA, just like the deployment side, it sounds as if IBM has a very comprehensive solution. Phil, that was a great explanation of SOA management, and I really want to thank you for your time.
I want to thank you for the opportunity to do this podcast, and I hope this has been useful.
Great, it really has been, and I think our listeners really learned quite a bit, as did I. And I'd like to thank our listeners for joining us from ports of call from around the globe. If you're interested in learning more about SOA management and other software development issues, I invite you to visit DeveloperWorks, Just point your browser to www.ibm.com/developerworks. Again, that's ibm.com/developerworks. This is IBM's developer website that contains thousands of original articles and tutorials, as well as discussion forums, blogs, and other interactive tools about open standards technologies and IBM development products and tools. You might also benefit from being part of the WebSphere community by going to ibm.com/developerworks/WebSphere/community. I'll repeat that. That's ibm.com/developerworks/WebSphere/community. That wraps up the DeveloperWorks podcast coverage of WebSphere and SOA technology, but we're already working on a new set of podcasts that will be available on DeveloperWorks very soon. This is Patrick Flanders for the WebSphere Technical Podcast Series on DeveloperWorks. And remember, we're more technical than music. Thanks for listening.